You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
They're great scriptures, aren't they? They're great about our gospel, about our Lord Jesus, about his great supremacy, but they're also great about us and how he gathers us together to spur one another on to love and good deeds. And that's what we've been sort of looking at over these last few weeks. Rick kicked us off with a wonderful overview through the scriptures of how God brings people together for purpose. And then the last couple of weeks, I've made 6 points, if you remember. The first point was that togetherness is part of God's design, that it's good for us, that togetherness is what the world is looking for, and that togetherness is where we meet God, and that togetherness is where we grow as disciples individually, and togetherness is where we grow others as disciples. And hopefully it was just a helpful overview for you. In it, I said that discipleship is a wonderful word that I was looking at over my sabbatical, has both aspects of my discipleship, my personal journey, my walk with Jesus, my own life, as it were, but also my activity of helping others, spurring one another on to love and good deeds, how we help each other be better disciples of Jesus. We looked at the phrase that to make disciples, even that little phrase, can mean either to help people become Christians, which is what we love to see, don't we? We do. I tell you, it's the most joyous thing when we see someone come to faith. But it is also how we help people on their lifelong process of being a Christian, that we're lifelong learners of Jesus. Remember that? If you weren't here, you've got an excuse. We are those who are on a lifelong journey, and we never sort of come to the end of our learning, the end of our time with in terms of development. Our growth is always there as disciples. And the phrase that I used was that we're disciples, we need to be one and make one. That's the sort of idea, that we want to be those who take seriously that we are disciples and followers of Jesus and are intentional about that and do something to encourage that in our own lives because it's good for us. But we also have that sense of wanting to be those who help others be disciples, whether that's to become Christians or to continue on their journey of faith. And the big idea that we had, or I suggested, was that we grow fastest in our faith, in our personal faith, when we are making disciples of others. Actually, when we actually are helping others on their journey, we grow the best and the fastest on our own journey. Does that make sense? So that was the sort of encouragement, the big idea. And I just heard of a little story that happened after my sermon, and that was last week, and it's always encouraging for preachers when they hear people responding to your sermon, because Christians do have this ability to listen to messages with their eyes open but actually asleep, and they've got this sort of gift of actually being able to sleep with their eyes open in sermons. It doesn't happen elsewhere in their life, but it does happen sometimes. It's a gift of the Spirit. No, it's definitely not a gift of the Spirit. Anyway, I was talking to Josh in the evening. He's not here, but Benji is. So Benji, come up here. I just want to hear what happened last Sunday. Do you want to tell us?
Yeah, of course. So at the end
Should I turn it on? Oh, it is on. There we are.
So at the end of the service, I hadn't seen Josh in a while, so we kind of, at the end of the service, we looked at each other, do you want to catch up later on? We're like, absolutely. And said, Josh said, well, why don't you bring your Bible along? We can do some Bible study. So we went to town in the afternoon, and we kind of went to Nero's where I used to work. But we used to sit, we sat in the, you know, like in the cafe, just in the middle of nowhere. Josh kind of brought this comically large Bible out. And we were just kind of like, we just asked each other questions about this passage in, I think it was Colossians. And it was just so encouraging, you know, kind of asking each other questions. And at the end, I think God really delighted in that, because next to us, there were two people. We had no idea they were listening, but they were kind of like sitting, drinking their coffee and watching us. And they came to us at the end and like, they said, we were so encouraged by what you two were doing. and we just absolutely love what you're doing. Have the next coffee on us and give us £10. I think that was just a sign that God absolutely loved and delighted in what we were doing, and it encouraged not only us, but the people around us. So I definitely think just really act on what you hear at church, because it can do wonderful things.
That's great. I'll add another point, that discipling others, you make money. And that's not true. That doesn't happen. But I think it's important that we have a... Would you like to go to the back? Thank you. I think it was so cool that they had that conversation in an open place, and they had that that ability to disciple one another, and that in that discipling, something else was happening that went beyond what they were doing. Wasn't that cool? I think that what Josh had said to me was that he had really felt inspired that we need to make disciples. And that he, although as a new Christian, was in a place where he could make an influence, be an influence on those who were also on their journey. And Josh was a little bit ahead of Benji, and so Benji was benefiting from Josh's journey, even though he's at the beginning of his journey. Does that make sense? And I wanted to use it as a way of inspiring us as people of God, that we can help others, no matter where we are on our journey, whether we're young or old, whether we are sort of struggling or really thriving, whether we are just in a place where God has got us, where we're caught up in all sorts of other things like little kids and all that sort of stuff, that God can use us wherever we are. Is that all right? And I think that was a wonderfully encouraging moment for me, and I think it's an encouragement to us, really, as a little cameo of what God's got for us in this next season. Is that all right? Jolly good. So I want to carry on this afternoon, or this morning even, looking at growth groups and really just how we're going to do our growth groups in this next season. I think I began to sort of propose the evolution of our groups last time, and I think the group evolution is part of the context of discipleship. The context of discipleship is how I see the groups evolving. And what I want to do is to try and sort of have a bit more practical session this morning, sort of saying, outlining how we see it going this next sort of phase. But I want to just sort of have a sense amongst us that it is in this context of making disciples that we're wanting to make these changes. And I want to unpack how we're doing it. We sort of based it around a book called Activate. Some of you might have seen that. If you haven't, it might be worth looking at, but we're not going to do it exactly like they say, because it's quite American, it's quite some things in it that I just don't feel are quite appropriate for us in the UK context. But I think it's something that has stimulated our thoughts. And the basic idea behind it is that our small groups sort of evolve and become short-term groups of about 10 to 12 weeks, with approximately a month between them, where we can gather to pray. So the big idea really is that they become short-term groups. They have a diverse group of leaders and encourage a creativity and a passion. And different sorts of group leaders, I think, can emerge in this sort of context who wouldn't necessarily be willing to take on a group forever, as it were. And the meetings can happen in all sorts of places at all sorts of times. And so that's the sort of basic idea about this approach. It's slightly different from how we've been doing it, but I see it as like an evolution of what we're doing. And really, all the groups are there together for purpose. That's the whole point of this little series, to be disciples and to make disciples. And the big idea is, as we step up, as we encourage one another, as we get involved with our groups, that actually we can grow in our faith as we're doing that. And even as I've been talking with people in the run-up to this, I found it just so stimulating and so exciting, that the ideas that have come forward. So how does it work? I just want to give you 12 little, or nine actually, little, I've shrunk it, nine little sort of points, and then I want to talk about how we're going to do it, and then I'm going to give you some of the ideas that are coming out. Is that all right? And then I want to close with a little devotional thought that I just had on my heart for us this morning. So how do they work? They are set up for 10 to 12 weeks, run during term time. Between those periods, we gather for prayer. So we don't run groups in the gaps, but we gather all together for prayer in different contexts. A key sort of moment each term is a sign-up Sunday, where everyone is encouraged to pick a group to attend. And for a few weeks before the sign-up Sunday, we advertise what the groups are that are on offer in the next term, and to give people an opportunity which ones they want to decide. And the catalogue of groups that will be offered each term, we'll try and give something for everybody. So we try to make it so that there's something that everybody says, I'd love to do that. That's what our hope is in it. Some of them will be more traditional, Bible study, prayer groups. Some will be more evangelistic, some more practical, some geographic, some based around a ministry that needs developing. And I think, hopefully, there's a creativity that will come that will be stimulating. It's great. I've written something and I can't actually read what I've written. You know what? I cannot read what that says. Nope. Gift of interpretation. It was an ex. Oh, I know what it was. I've got it. I think, the idea is that we sort of commit to the groups as opposed to flip between the groups. That was the sort of point. Fourth point is that each group's got a leader who takes responsibility for the 12 weeks, ideally an assistant or an apprentice as well, somebody who'd like to lead a group but hasn't got the experience or needs a bit of training. I think the groups can happen anywhere. It can happen in the evening, during the day, weekend, over breakfast, 10 o'clock at night, if that's the fancy of a particular group. All that's made clear in how we promote the groups. Venues can be homes or WCC or a coffee shop or a pub, especially the coffee shop where they give £10 notes to those who are talking about the faith. Each group will have a title and a bit of copy describing it, who's leading it, a venue, the time, all that sort of stuff. So hopefully it'll be clear what people are buying into. Each group's going to have ideally between 8 and 12 people, and the registration for a group will be on a first-come, first-service sort of basis. I'll come back to that in a little bit. Couples can go to the same group or different groups. And group leaders are sort of encouraged to use a number of resources to help in that discipling process. Could be books or course materials, videos, devotionals. There may be another focus of a group, sport or walking or baking or creating or outreach, but it's hope that, it's planned that all the groups won't just be social groups, but will be a place where we become better disciples and help others be better disciples. That makes sense. So there's loads of social things you can do out there. But as God's people come together, we want to be those who are encouraging discipleship in one another. We're wanting to be a group who are spurring each other on to faith and good works, as it says in Hebrews 10. So part of the planning process is to be really thoughtful about how, as a group, we're going to, in that term, pray, read the Bible, encourage one another, and do that effectively together. I think the refreshments rota will still be part of the deal for groups, but twice a term we have to do that as well. We want to ensure the group leaders are supported and trained and have a process in place to achieve that. And also pastoral issues that come up in groups we're able to be able to deal with effectively. And so, obviously there are some existing groups that have built important friendships, and we want to be sensitive to that. It might be that there's groups of people who want to keep sticking together, and that's cool. It might be that you want to continue to encourage one another because you've got a friendship with somebody, even if they're in a different group. That's cool. You might want to just follow your growth group leader I mean, that's cool, unless it gets a little bit weird and stalky-like. And then we might have a word with you. But we want to be sort of sensitive to individuals and individuals' journeys. And basically, how it sort of works is over four, there's four Fs that they sort of encourage: fill, form, focus, and facilitate. The fill is the sort of idea that we prepare, we promote, and we have a sign-up Sunday. The form is the first month of the 12 weeks where the groups are sort of bedding in, settling down, sorting themselves out. The focus phase is where the next term's groups are beginning to be thought about and discussed, put forward, leaders emerging, honing. And then the facilitate process is then in that last month of the 12 weeks where we seek to prepare to launch the groups. And at the end of the 12 weeks, the next term's catalogue is sort of put out there, as it were. The list of groups are announced so you can think and talk with others, pray a bit, and then we have another sign-up Sunday the next term. And originally, I had planned to do a sort of soft launch of this through this term to sort of just experiment a bit covertly behind the scenes with some new groups, see if they work, and then do a bigger launch in the autumn. But when I got all the growth group leaders together, it was sort of, they began to get a bit excited about what this opportunity was and basically said, well, you know, don't do a soft launch. Let's just go for it. We're going to do it. Let's go for it. And so that's what we're going to do. We are going to go for it this term. I'm just so impressed with our growth group leaders. If you're a growth group, the current growth group leader, just put your hand up. Stand up. Let's make it really embarrassing. Just stand up if you're a growth group leader. And this isn't all of our growth group leaders, but let's clap these as the representative ones, because week on week, they are loving people, caring for people, inspiring people, and I'm just so grateful to all of you, and because it is just a phenomenal thing that's happening within the church. It's what that makes the church happen. A lot of them are going to continue with groups, leading groups, but we're hoping that other people also are going to get inspired to lead some groups as well. And so on the 28th, we're going to have a first sign-up Sunday and see how it goes. And groups, these new groups will start in May. We'll review it as we go along. I'm interested in feedback and ideas. We're seeing it as sort of an experiment, and you're all the guinea pigs. And so we're wanting just to make sure that it is working and effective. So we're wanting to have lots of communication through this term. Is this something that we want to do? Is it working for us? If it is, we can press on. If not, we can review and look at it again. I read this quote this week about ideas. New ideas pass through three phases. It can't be done. It probably can be done, but it's not worth doing. And I knew it was a good idea all along. And I thought, well, let's hope we get to that third stage and say, this is a good idea. But if we don't, that's fine. We can take stock and change. So if you look at the calendar, it looks something like this. We have the little red arrows, a sort of promotional period. The red dots is a sign-up Sunday. You have then the sort of purpley colour, blue colour is as the groups are settling in. During the red sort of weeks, the groups carry on, but we start thinking about the next term's groups. In the green phase, we're preparing for all of that so that we're able to launch the next term's groups, settle them in, begin to think about the next term's groups, prepare for them, etc., etc. So that's how it's sort of working as we go through this next sort of phase. Does that make sense to some degree? Now, as I've gone around, there's been some questions about that people have had, and I want to just address some of them and then come to just a scripture for us to rest on at the end of our time. First question was this: what if you want to stay where you are in your current group? And that's a big question. I went to a group this week, and it was interesting to note that there was this sort of sense of, this is really exciting, these ideas, things that are happening, this change, but I don't want to change what I'm doing as well. And there was this that sort of dual sense there. And, you know, I recognize that for some people, being part of a group is a difficult journey, actually. And becoming part of a group takes time, and they it takes time to trust the people in the group and to feel at home in a group. And I really get that. I also see the real benefit of a sort of the long-haul journey with people, which this sort of idea is may seem counter. That, you know, it just takes a long time to know people's stories, to hear each other's stories, to know the ups and downs of people's lives, and to have journeyed with people is a powerful thing. And we don't want to sort of disrupt the beauty of that. And the sort of friendships like that tend to continue whatever group somebody ends up in. I also recognise that for some people, there's a particular geography that is in play. When I spoke to Ed and Kathy, you know, they're up on the RAF base and they draw people from Hook, and it really just works for them. And we need to work with those sorts of issues as well. So if there are good reasons for groups to stick together, that's fine. We're not wanting to be a dictator. Sometimes it's tempting, but most of the time I don't want to be a dictator. However, I would encourage us all to be open to the fact that some people in your group might want to go to another group, and that's fine as well. I think over the years we've had people who have sort of almost felt trapped in a group, really. That they want to move on to another group, but they feel a loyalty to their group. And how do you actually leave a group as we currently do? It's quite a tricky thing, really. What tends to happen is people just stop going and then give it a period and then join another group. But it's sort of not done in a really good way. And so some people might want to leave, and that's fine. And I'd also say just let's be sensitive to our group leaders as well. Currently, group leaders are just, it's like a life sentence or a life job to run groups. And for all sorts of reasons, group leaders might want to not run a group for a term. Sort of life situations happen, or they might just want to have a season, they might want to just have a break, they might want to sign into another group, they might really want to do a marriage course or a parenting course. And I think we need to have the liberty to free group leaders to do that as well, rather than feel obliged to carry on doing their groups. For some, I've said that already, but I think it's also, hopefully, an opportunity to get to know other people in the church. When you're in your group, you get to know people. But there's some other great people in the church as well to get to know. And hopefully just this season of moving it around a bit will help form other friendships that will be lasting and important for us. And so hopefully that just brings some perspectives on that question. Second question, what if there's not enough people or too many people who want to attend a particular group? Well, what we're going to do is we'll put a maximum limit on a group, and essentially, if you get in there first, you'll be in that group. That's how it will work. If we see a group that's just overflowing, then that says something, doesn't it? And we want to do another one of those groups. We want to have one of those groups the next term or even during that term. If there aren't enough people who sign up for a group, we won't run the group. And that is part of the deal. When a leader is proposing a group and a leader steps forward, we just got to be straightforward about it. If we've got a great idea and we think everyone's going to be passionate about it, but two other people turn up, you know, that's just how it is. And so we've just got to be straightforward about it. In the book, it calls it a free market, but that sounds like a bit commercial. And so I don't like that term, but I think there's this reality, isn't there, that if we pose a group and it just doesn't fly, then that's fine. That's not a comment on necessarily even the group or the group leader. It's just that hasn't worked this time. Another question is, what sort of curriculum will be used? And a big part of the focus phase is to think through the goals for the groups, how are we going to make disciples in these groups? So they're not just a social thing, but how are we going to really intentionally stir one another up, spur each other on to love and good deeds? How are we going to do that? And we're going to develop a list of resources that can be used by groups alongside what they might be doing in another context as well. And hopefully that will serve people with a variety of things. Not everybody likes the same things. Not people learn in the same way. We want to be... have a diversity about that so that people can learn effectively. But hopefully that will serve the leaders so they don't feel at sea, but they're able to work with us on that. And we're really keen to encourage and support the leaders and to develop the leaders. I think that's part of my goal with this whole thing, is to develop leaders. I think there is a great number amongst us here in Farnham, and I want to see and do all I can really to encourage leadership amongst us. And I'm hoping that the sort of shorter commitment of leadership will open up a possibility for some to lead groups who might not have wanted to lead a permanent group. And I'm hoping that that will become something that just grows in momentum as we go through this next season. And I think it's also want to just give some flexibility to people. Just because you start running a group one term doesn't mean you have to do one the next term, but we can be more open and flexible with leadership. One term, they might want to put it down and attend a group the next term as a way of them growing as leaders, then coming to lead a group again, and then having a term where they're part of it. All sorts of flexibility like that we want to be able to work with, hopefully. And I think in addition to that, I just really feel on my heart, I want to get alongside people, particularly around the issue of leadership. I'm convinced that good and godly servant leadership is critical for the church, but also in the world. And as I look around, I see so many young leaders emerging, and I want to get alongside and work with small groups of to really fan into flame that leadership gift and potential. And I'm keen to do that and to serve particular groups in a term, and then the next term another group, and then the next term another group, because I really believe that God is raising up leaders at this time, and I'm keen for that to happen effectively and want to give myself personally to that as part of this process. Two other questions about pastoral care. We sort of recognize and say within the, you know, introducing church life that this, the groups are where most pastoral care happens. And over the years, we've worked with a three-level process of pastoral care, sort of primary level, that's the everyday encouragement, practical care that everybody needs, the one anothering, the cooking meals for mums who've just had babies. It's the sort of practical aspects of care. It's the sending of notes of encouragement. It's praying for one another. It's all that practical stuff that's about health and well-being and making disciples and growing as disciples. That is primary level pastoral care that I think can carry on, and hopefully is the whole point of doing the groups in the way that we are. Secondary level of care recognizes that we all face things from time to time that we have to grapple with, that we're made redundant, we're in a situation where we're bereaved, or we have particular issues in our marriage, or we've got problems with our kids or something, and we need another level of care and another level of competency to care for people in that way. And historically, some of our group leaders have been able to do that, but if they've not, they've been able to refer on to others who are able to care, and we can see that carrying on, probably with a more diverse group of group leaders. We want to be able to do that more effectively to make sure that nobody's floundering and everybody's able to refer. And then we've always had this tertiary level of care where we recognise that even amongst our own ranks, there isn't the professional level or experience that we need to deal with certain issues, and we would refer people to people outside of our context who need professional help. And so we've always done that over the years, and that will carry on in the way that we're doing, because both the secondary and tertiary areas of care, the aim is to restore people back that primary level of care where we are all functioning together and looking after each other and caring for one another. And so hopefully this will still carry on, and part of the support of leaders will be to and make sure that that is clear for them. Final question was about new people. If you sign up 1 week a term, that's 3 Sundays a year. What happens to people who just turn up on a Sunday? Can they join groups? Well, what we want to do is set up a welcome group and to have a particular group that is really looking out for the people who just turn up on a Sunday or are connected with us in some way, who we can draw into a small group if they want to do that, they can get to know us, get to know the church, get to know some other new people. And wherever they arrive in the term, there's something for them to do, and they're able to then sign up to groups like everybody else at the beginning of the next term. And I think this is quite an important thing. I've often talked to group leaders in terms of how we've done it, and some of them, our group leaders, just serve in so many other ways on a Sunday, and they've not been able to pick up new people as they've come in, and they've said, that's really a bit frustrating. We're serving, and we're not able to welcome the new people, and so our group hasn't grown in the way that somebody else's group has, who's had the opportunity to talk to the newer people. And so I think it's going to get that out of the sort of system where we've got a group that's particularly intentional about reaching out to new people and trying to encourage them to feel part of the church. So I'm hoping that answers some of the questions. I'm sure there's a zillion other questions, and we're going to be working them out through this term. I'd much rather know that you've got questions than they sort of fester in your soul. I'd much rather know the concerns, because we're working this out as we go along, and we want to be adaptive to the concerns and questions people have got. But I'm hoping it's going to bring a fresh energy and a fresh momentum to us, a fresh opportunity to reach out. I'm hoping for testimonies like Benji's, where we've been doing things and others have started to connect with the church or the gospel or Jesus in some new way and fresh way. And I'm hoping that it's going to be attractive to those outside the church as well. As we're passionate about a particular thing, it's much easier to invite people to it, isn't it, than to things than it might be. So it's moving away from that one size fits all to trying to cater for different levels of maturity, avoid cliques, and to avoid just trying to bring us into a new season together. So that's the idea. We're going to go for it as opposed to just sneak it in. And so hopefully you'll be with us in that. And I've just been thrilled. I asked for ideas, and I just thank you, all those who've put them through. We've got too many now to deal with. We can't have too many groups, otherwise, you know, we'll have like 80 groups with one person in. That's not going to work. So we've got to have more like 8 groups with 10 people in, sort of more that sort of thing. But I just read you some of them out. The welcome group I've mentioned. There's a group who wants to do Pilgrim's Progress. Read that book together. There's a group that called Proverbs in the Pub, applying wisdom, biblical wisdom, to different parts of work, life, work and family, all sorts of different things, meeting in a pub. Love Thy Neighbour, I love this one. This was a group getting together to plan some outreach events that they can all encourage each other and support each other in. So for a term, they're organising, planning, helping each other to do a big barbecue or a neighbourhood event or something, an outreach event. There was a barbecue group, Friday night, different meat each week, working through Love Does. Must be a bloke. There was a park run and brunch. 5K run, 9 o'clock on a Saturday. Free to enter, all abilities, racing against yourself, not others. Beat your last time. Challenge yourself to get stronger physically and spiritually, and then have brunch together afterwards. Cool. Doing business with Jesus, another one. Getting together with those who are running businesses and looking at different challenges in the workplace, running a business, dealing with difficult colleagues, that sort of stuff. Another one, Spirit-filled worship, getting together with people who just want to worship and strengthen our use of the spiritual gifts so that we can have and be an encouragement on Sundays. Another one, the leader within, that's the one I want to run. Walking the Way, Sunday afternoon walk, and then gathering in a home to pray. From Surviving to Thriving, a daytime group for young mums with young kids. Refresh, a group just to looking at Waden Christian Centre and the revamp of it, a creative sort of group to make it look pretty. You see, I mean, some wonderful ideas come in here. Alpha group, parenting course, marriage course, new Christians course, a big issues, big questions, how to ask big questions. I just want a place where I can go and ask the big questions I've got of faith. A digging deeper group, looking at really going into deep into doctrine or a particular Bible book or a particular aspect of theology, hermeneutics or whatever, and really go deeper. An intercessors group, a daytime group just to pray, a creativity and cake group, making beautiful things and celebrating the goodness of God. So you can see that this is just a week's worth. And I want to encourage you, if you've got other ideas, let me know. Because we're not going to be able to do all of these next term, but we want to just know what is out there in people's imaginations. And so what we're doing tonight is meeting with the growth group leaders and just trying to begin to hone what looks a good suite of groups for this next term. Some of them will be put into the following term so that you've got an idea of what's happening. But if you've got other ideas, send them through, because if they're not this term, we will build them into a subsequent term. Does that make sense? Are you keeping up? Are you all right? Yeah, that was a very positive yeah. I like that. Good. So let me finish with this, just changing tack. I feel that God is with us at this point. And I really feel, well, let's just catch up here, let me know. I really feel that he loves us and has our best interest at heart. And that theme that we started the year with as him as the good shepherd is what he would remind us about as we enter this new phase. Because I'm personally convinced that he's utterly for us at this time and utterly for you, and is so keen for you to grow as a disciple and for us together to grow as disciples. And I just was struck this week by Matthew 4, where Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee and he saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and his brother Andrew, and they were casting their net into the lake. Well, they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. I just feel, as we close, just consider Peter and his brother Andrew. They knew that Jesus was seeking more than just traveling companions. At this point, the brothers had known Jesus for more than a year. They'd taken time to consider his teaching and decide what kind of man he was. They'd probably witnessed the miracle of turning water into wine. And according to John's gospel, they said they had already believed in him, these guys. So their decision to drop their nets and drop everything to follow him wasn't like a impulsive, spontaneous thing, actually. Sounds a bit like that, doesn't it? They didn't understand everything about Jesus, about his mission, but they, when he called them, they trusted him enough to surrender themselves to his authority. That was what was happening, because they knew him. And like Andrew and Peter, our sort of obedience to God, our stepping up to follow him, doesn't depend on us knowing everything. You know, Josh wouldn't say he knows everything, but he was a help to Benji last week. You see, it all hinges on us really trusting that God is our good shepherd. And if we trust that he is our good shepherd and we root out any suspicion that he's not good, if you remember that from those very first Sundays of the year, that our ability to drop our nets and follow him becomes much easier. To be a disciple is much easier when you trust the person who you're following. If you have that suspicion that he isn't good, it's hard to let go of things. A lot of Christians over the years I've met want to just hold on to some things just in case God doesn't come through for them. It's that idea of him becoming Lord, but we want to still sit on the throne and have him available to us in case we have problems. But what he encourages us to do as disciples is to say, do you know what, trust me. Because I'm going to lead you into some wonderful places, exciting places. I'm going to do you good. I'm going to be somebody who grows the good in you, that deals with the stuff that spoils you and makes you the person that I always wanted you to be. Because he says, follow me. And I think he's calling us in this season to follow him in a fresh way. Personally, as disciples, in our own devotional life, reading the Bible, praying, worshipping, all those sorts of things. But in our encouragement of others too. So I think he is saying, follow me, to all of us. And I just want us to have a delight in that. It is really worth following him. It is really worth being a disciple. There are others who we can follow who let us down. But he is an utterly faithful, loving, good shepherd who wants us to follow him and wants us not to get caught up in things that distract us, but are wholehearted in our pursuit of him. And that might be that he is calling you to step up at this time. And so let's cut the tees off, as I said last time. Let's be those who say, okay, I'm going to follow you because I know you're the good shepherd. Maybe it's fishing for men who or women who are going to come to faith, but maybe that idea of fishing for men that Jesus was encouraging his disciples to be also included helping disciples carry on their journey. See, there's no greater reward really than seeing lives transformed by the love of God. It's why I selfishly do Alpha every time, because there is nothing like seeing somebody come to faith to encourage your own faith. It makes you realize the delight that you knew when you first came to faith, as you just see it in people's faces. They just light up. They just like they come alive. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But it's also great, isn't it, to see our brothers and sisters break through on issues, are cared for through struggling times, celebrated with at good times. There's nothing like seeing God transform people. And that's what this is all about, being disciples. So let's spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let's be one and make one, or two, or three, or four, or five. Amen? Can we stand? I just want us to respond to God and to... I was reflecting this morning, I just had on my heart three things really to pose to you. And... Matt, you want to come up? I think it'd be great to just to conclude with a song. But as we're doing it, I just love us just to take a moment to pray and to reflect, just where we are, just individually. I just want us to sort of take a moment and ask ourselves, what sort of disciple am I? Am I a disciple that is willing to follow Jesus? Or am I actually a sort of disciple that is going his own route with Jesus as like an appendage? And it might be just some confession to do, just as we're praying, just saying, God, I want to just be a follower of you. I want to be wholehearted. I want to be somebody who follows you. I want to be a good disciple, not one of those awkward ones. I just want us to take a moment to reflect on that. What could you do to surrender more to the Lord Jesus? What could you do to continue your discipleship, personal discipleship? What's he challenging you to do at this point? One thing. Second thing is, how can you disciple others? Wherever you're at on your stage, who have you got around you who you can say something encouraging to? You know, small little acts, not like massive, you know, master's degree theology course you need to take someone through. It might be as simple as an encouraging note, just spurring one another on a practical deed. How can we encourage one another? Think on that. Third thing, a bit more risky. Just ask God, would you like me to run a group? When you ask that, you might just have an idea come into your mind, and it might be from God, you never know. I want us just to be just quiet for a minute or so and to take stock. Where are we? Where am I as a disciple? How can I encourage others in there as disciples? And God, are you calling me to step up at this time? Let's spend just a moment, a minute or so, and quiet. And then Matt can lead us in a song of worship as we conclude. Let's just be quiet for a moment, and then I'll pray, and then Matt can pick up. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for that idea of the Good Shepherd. We thank you that you're a good shepherd. And we want to be good sheep who follow your voice. Not the sort of sheep that wander off, or the sort of sheep that are awkward for you. But we want to be followers of you, who know you and know that you have the best for us in your heart. And so, Lord, even as people have been thinking about their own discipleship, I pray, Lord, encourage us all into a fresh phase of our discipleship, our fellowship, following of you. Because we need to get back into the Word, let us read the Word. If it's prayer, let us pray. If it's worship, Lord, let us find wonderful new albums to listen to. If we need to deal with sin, Lord, help us. Lord, we want to be the best disciples we can be. And Lord, we want to help each other be the best disciples they can be. And so, Father, we ask, stir within us a desire to see others grow and others develop and others become all that they were meant to be. And so, Lord, we do throw ourselves upon you in this new season. I pray, Lord, that you would bless us. Lord, bless us as people step up into leading a group for a term. Lord, I pray, bless those who struggle with change. I just pray, Father, be very close to them particularly. We don't want folks to feel ill at ease. We want, Lord, to be sensitive to that. But Lord, I pray you'd help us all on that journey together. And so, Lord, we offer you this new approach, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless it. And Father, it would be wonderful to hear stories of others who've been listening in, seeing what we're doing, and have come to find Jesus. And I pray you'd help us in that. Add to us those who are being saved, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.